This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. We continue to deal with coronavirus, its impacts, and our recovery. Each week, we've been exploring related issues with 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. The Dearborn Democrat has graciously agreed to join us each week for a conversation from her federal perspective and as to how it impacts us here in the state of Michigan and in Washtenaw County. Representative Dingell, thank you so much for the time.
David, it's good to be with you.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer yesterday extended her stay-at-home order until May 28th. You still hold up in Dearborn?
I'm holed up in Dearborn. 53rd day. You know what? It's getting to me.
It's getting to all of us. But as I'm sure you're aware, there is this slow process now of reopening the economy, the state, and the country. Governor Whitmer announced yesterday manufacturing companies will begin the process of reopening this coming Monday. The order allows suppliers to reopen in anticipation of auto assembly plants opening a week later. Given how crucial the auto industry is to the Michigan economy, roughly 19% of the total, are you on board with this decision?
You know, I have been working very hard since the beginning of all of this with the UAW, with the OEMs, the motor vehicle, I mean, GM, Ford, Chrysler, the supplier community, the dealer community. So this has been a long discussions, deliberations with everyone about what it's going to take to make these plants safe, new protocols in all of these plants. Roy Gamble, who's the president of the UAW, is concerned that some are really ready to get back to work and others are very afraid to go into the plants. So what are going to be the new protocols? How have they changed the assembly line to accommodate standing 6 feet apart, inserting plexiglass and a number of them, and doing everything that they can to make these plants safe? And now this next week is to be the education week, showing people what's been done, what the new protocols are, and really showing them the importance of listening to what the new protocols are. And then the supplier industry will slowly ramp up next week, too, to get ready to support the OEMs when they targetly, the UAW has not officially announced, go back to work on the 18th.
Well, right. And as you mentioned, United Auto Workers President Rory Gamble has been in those conversations with you, with the auto companies. One of the provisions in allowing the manufacturing sector to start to ramp up operations is that if an employee does not feel safe in going back to work, they can opt out without having any punitive action taken against him. Has Rory Gamble expressed to you in any way that most of his membership will return to work?
I think he's very pragmatic. I know, you know, we all know a lot of people that are just very anxious to get out of the house and want to get back to normal. And yet there are others that are older, closer to retirement, have pre-existing conditions that know that they've got the need to be careful. So every person's got to make their own decision. One of the things that I've really learned, I've spent a lot of time on this the last couple of weeks, is how much the plants are doing to make them safe. Rawsonville is a good example. I would encourage people to watch the 60 Minutes piece that was aired about 10 days ago, a week ago, last Sunday. Bill Ford was on it, and he was in the Rawsonville plant, and how much they've done to keep it safe. You have to take a questionnaire before you go in. Then your temperature is taken. But on the questionnaire, if you have symptoms or you have someone in your household with COVID, you're not allowed to go to work. But the company is also paying for you to be home for those 14 days. They take your temperature. If there's any suspicion, you aren't allowed into the plant. You're sent to get a COVID test. When you go in the plant, you have PPE equipment, which Ford themselves are making, so they know that they've got it. They've installed plexiglass, and they're wearing these watches that will beep if you get within 6 feet of one another, and will also track if someone becomes COVID positive who that person interacted with.
We're talking with Congresswoman Debbie Dingell on 89.1 WEMU. And from a broader perspective, we know that nearly 69,000 people filed initial claims for unemployment just in the last week, bringing Michigan's seven-week total to more than 1.3 million. The number of new claims dropped for a fourth straight week, but still approached the weekly high recorded in the Great Depression. The State Unemployment Insurance Agency says it's paid out to jobless benefits to more than 1.1 million people so far. So I want to approach this aspect on two fronts. First, It's good that there is some level of a safety net in place. It is a net, however, that could crumble under its own weight. What conversations are taking place in Washington to supplement the system moving forward to ensure help remains available until we're back on track?
There are a lot of conversations going on, and the fact of the matter is that when these numbers come out shortly, many people think they will be the worst numbers we've ever seen in American history. Some of those people are on furlough and have temporarily lost their jobs, and that's what we've got to watch. How many are going to have a job to go back to when we open up? And the safety net is in place that was not in place during the Great Depression of Social Security, FDIC, insurance for your savings account in banks, and the unemployment that you were just talking about, David. In Washington, we are looking at many different programs. Extending the period of time people are eligible for unemployment, additional stimulus checks, or a new idea that is very much, it has support from conservatives and progressives, is something called the Paycheck Protection Program, which would put money directly into workers' pockets and give them the money that they needed while this COVID crisis was going on. It's been supported by the American Enterprise Institute, by many in labor, and by the Center for American Progress, among many others. So we're looking at all kinds of things. I think that what's different now than it was when we saw the Great Depression is that people know that this is real and that it's serious, but that there are actions the government can do to keep people safe, to give them the economic relief that they need for the moment, and that we all need to implement economic policies that are going to bring jobs back quickly or create new jobs.
But you are well aware there is a sentiment among many in Washington that we should wait and see how the economy begins to recover before issuing any more relief or stimulus money. What is your position? You say there's some bipartisanship, but clearly not enough to pass that next package yet.
I think that you will see that next package. I think the next package, I don't care to, it may be called the Heroes Package. There's a lot of discussion going into it now. I think it'll be on the House side done by the end of next week. I think there's a lot of discussion between the House and the Senate. Look, I was surprised, but the White House appointed me to their reopen congressional group. And I was on a phone call yesterday with Republicans and Democrats, and I'll tell you, it was a very diverse group. Rokana, who's one of the most progressive members of the Congress, to people like me, to many Republicans, having very real discussions. And I think that while you're hearing a lot of words, there is going to be a commitment that everybody knows. There isn't a single district in this country that doesn't have people that are hurting, that are scared, a knowledge that we have to do something. And we can't play bipartisan games right now. We want to make sure it's right. We got to take the time to make sure what's going in there is going to work. And that's what you're seeing right now. What's going to work?
Our conversation with Michigan's 12th District Congressional Representative Debbie Dingell continues on 89.1 WEMU. You've repeatedly said in our weekly conversations, you're not going to point fingers and you don't want to be political. From the perspective out here, it seems very political. From the Trump administration refusing to let Dr. Anthony Fauci testify before the U.S. House because he says the House is full of Trump haters, to Republicans in Lansing suing the governor, it's political. Now, you are set to formally announce your 2020 reelection bid tomorrow. Is it time for you to get more political?
Well, I am running, and my primary is in August, so I have no choice but to campaign on the issues that I'm in. I think it is appropriate for me to say Tony Fauci should be allowed to testify. But I think what you just said, it's starting to get political. People are pointing fingers. People don't want partisan bickering. They want us to figure out what it's going to take to keep them safe. That how are we going to get rid of this virus? How are they going to have a job? How are they going to put food on the table? If they're sick, go to the doctor and make sure that they have a roof over their head, that can pay their rent and their mortgage. That's our job. And it doesn't matter if we're Republican or Democrat. That's what we've got to do right now. And I think there's also agreement that we've got to get help to state and local levels of government, which are fighting this public health crisis. So that's my job. You know, there's a time in my campaigning is actually against a Democrat. So it's not going to be when the time for the presidential campaign comes in the fall, I think we need to talk about leadership and leadership styles. But right now we're in a crisis. And when you're in a crisis, you got to work together to find what that solution is. You got to develop strategies, implement them, And that's what I'm focused on doing.
Well, our time together is winding down. But for those who would like to join you for that formal announcement of your re-election bid on Saturday, how can they do that?
They can go to my Facebook page, and it's Debbie Dingell. I'm a very simple soul. I want people to be able to find me on the political page, not my official page, obviously. There's an invitation to join. And don't expect, I mean, I'm going to talk about the issues, but what we do need to do is to start to gear up, get people energized. One of the things I'm most focused on is protecting the election process and encouraging people to sign up for absentee ballots so they can vote from mail and not be worried about whether they're safe at the poll.
A great place to end and a great place for us to pick up at some point in one of our future conversations. Thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you. Take care. And be safe.
You too. That is 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. She joins me on Fridays to update us on the federal response to the coronavirus crisis. For all the information on how you can take part and to access all of WEMU's and NPR's COVID-19 coverage, visit our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.